Welcome to the Sportscast, June 23rd, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You visit our website, thesportscast.net, or you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at thesportscast1. Check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Summer soccer is here. The Gold Cup, that's what it means. It is a CONCACAF tournament among countries. Obviously, the typical favorites, USA, Mexico, and now Canada. It's in that that realm, that pool table. And join us all the way from Oregon, Amanda's wearing a Mexican jersey today, the white one, Francisco Flores. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, it's good to be back. Not 6 months later this time. It was a few weeks ago we did the Champions League pod, so I'm excited to talk some summer soccer once again, and let's go Mexico in the little Gold Cup.
Before we get into the Gold Cup, it was just announced less than an hour ago that FIFA will now have the Club World Cup in the United States for 2025. It is a tournament of the best clubs in the world. Typically, the European one wins. Real Madrid has won it, your team. The competition will be 32 teams in, which will be the largest tournament so far. According to the report, 12 of the 32 clubs will be come from Europe, of course. And, USA is not just hosting this tournament, the Club World Cup, but also the Copa America in 24 and then the World Cup in 26, the granddaddy of it all. Francisco, it's coming home.
The tournaments, right? The tournaments are coming home.
Yes, the tournaments are coming home. We have three. We can't complain. Plus, we haven't talked about Premier League summers games here.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be, it's exciting because we don't get the chance to see these teams live at games unless you travel to Europe. So I'm definitely going to try and make my way to one of these games, especially if Real Madrid is going to be playing, which more than likely they will be. So, yeah, it's good to see the competitions a little bit closer to home.
Yeah, so this is not like, this tournament has been held internationally. This the recent one was held in Morocco. I don't know if they ever had a Club World Cup in South America. Do you remember? Maybe Brazil?
Argentina? I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I'm sure they've been spread out since they've mostly been in Europe. That's kind of what I've been seeing as far as the host. But there may have been one or two.
And, typically the European clubs or like the winner of the Champions League usually comes a little bit later in the tournament. They kind of come into the second round, the semi-final round. So they don't go from like the round of 16 or the quarterfinals, but this tournament might be completely different, obviously, because it's held in the summertime after the European season's over. What do you think about this type of format? It's completely World Cup style and it's after the seasons are over.
Real quick. You were right. It was Brazil. The very first one actually was held in Brazil.
I knew it. My memory does win sometimes.
And then after that, there's no other South American. There's Japan and UAE, Morocco. So yeah, they kind of hold it in certain areas, I guess, or certain countries have only hosted it. It's not like spread out or random or doesn't look like it, at least. But yeah, with this this format, it's a little bit different, but I think it's good to see FIFA changing things up. And also with the new format for the World Cup, I think it was due time, to have a change also for the Club World Cup and other tournaments as well. So I think it'll be exciting to see some new changes, and yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to be, you know, teams are always complaining about the scheduling and this many games and that many games, but the same things were happening before COVID, during COVID, and now after COVID, and look, teams are okay, players are fine, the same amount of injuries, there isn't, you know, an exaggerated amount of injuries that have come because of the stacking of games, or, you know, we're only resting two days in between games. Like, it's all the same, and these guys are elite athletes, and so they can handle it, and I don't think there's going to be any issue as far as them being held afterwards. And I think teams, you know, even like right now, you know, teams, most of their tournaments were over, and within, you know, 2 weeks, they were back with their national team training, and they have no issues with it. It's an honor to be called up to your national team. And then it's also should be an honor to, you know, train with your club team to go to the World Cup and represent the team badge as well. So I think everything will be good, and no complaining. All right. Stop those Twitter haters, you know, that are on there with their Twitter fingers and whatnot. Just, you know, they can handle it. So I most of the time it's these people that don't know, you know, what it takes to be a player and to be under that type of pressure. And some of the players like that, I mean, a lot of the players like that. And so I don't think there's going to be no issue.
Yeah. And I think this could put to rest the Super League, because this could, you know, whoever wins this Club World Cup wins a prize money. I don't know how much it is, but I know there's a prize money involved. So that could put the rest of Florentino Perez in Real Madrid.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's that should be a big motivator for teams too, is the pot, the money. So yeah, like I said, it should be, you know, if you win, you get a nice little bonus. And you know, I'm sure it's just like the Champions League, where depending on what stage you move through, you know, your team gets a little cut. So there is a good incentive for the players as well.
There is some hope. Anyways, let's go to the main premise of the show. The Gold Cup 2023 is being held in the United States. I'm not sure if there's going to be a 2025, because typically there's one after the World Cup and one before the World Cup, but we don't know. We do know there's a Club World Cup in 2025, but we do have a Gold Cup. It starts this weekend. Four groups of four teams are going to participate. It is the CONCACAF. It is usually the North American, all the North American teams, USA, Mexico, Canada, and of course the Caribbean and Central America. Let's go into Group A, Francisco. It is USA, Jamaica, Trinidad, Tobago, St. Kitts, and Nevis. This is a group that USA is heavily favorited, but they do have Jamaica. But let's go into the USA team. They got a couple of stars. They didn't get all the players from the Haitians League, but USA has proven before they get two different rosters and win two tournaments. So the main star, if you could, well, the main star, as you can see, is Matt Turner and Zendegas, Alejandro Zendegas from Liga MX. And of course, you got Sean Johnson, Selena, Yedlin, Aaron Long, Matt Miazga, Brian Reynolds, Miles Robinson, DeJuan Jones, Jalen Neal, John Token, Busio, Allen, Sonara, James Sands, Mihaljevic, Christian Roldan, Aiden Morris, Jesus Ferreira, Cade Caldwell, Jordan Morris, Brandon Vasquez, and Julian Grissel. Your thoughts on this roster that the U.S. is bringing?
My thoughts are it's not the team that I thought they were going to bring up, but it makes sense that they you know, have a little rotation. I thought that they would maybe bring in a little bit more of the stars. You know, obviously Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie, but you know, it's not possible for everyone to play every single game, so I understand that. The rotation seems like maybe it was a little not planned well for me, but you know, maybe that's what the plan is. But yeah, they're still the favorite for the group, that's for sure. I don't think they'll have any it won't be tough for them to move out of the group, and to me, I think they'll be in first in that group, and Jamaica probably second, and it'll be easy peasy onto the next round. For me, the best player that I see, the difference maker, is going to be Jordan Morris. I'm a big fan of him. And
no way. A lot of the US fans are not.
Hey, man, he's playing at the top level again after he tore his ACL and was out for like a year. So I give him respect for that, for returning to form and basically being at the same level that he was before the injury. So I think that shows a lot of his character. And I don't usually say that I'm a fan of any US players, so the fact that I do say that I'm a fan of his is it should speak to, yeah, just say a lot. So what are your opinions on the group?
Well, this roster, well, the group itself, I think, is going to be pretty easy. I think the Jamaica one, which I'm going to pull up the roster, is quite interesting. Jamaica does have three Premier League strikers, but they don't have much of a midfield. So let me pull up the roster of Jamaica. I thought seeing Mikel Antonio involved is quite something, because a whole lot of times, Francisco, the Jamaican Federation don't really pay their players well. So sometimes they don't show up for some reason, and it's usually because of money. But let me show up this roster here. If you could probably tell this player, because he plays in the Premier League, Mikel Antonio. Oh, my bad. And Demi Gray are two of the main strikers for the Jamaican team. There's also another one called Leon Ailey. He's a amazing striker for Aston Villa. I'm not sure if he plays much. I haven't seen him, but I do recognize Mikel Antonio. But look at their midfield. Kevin Hambert from Phoenix Rising, Preston North and Daniel Johnson, Fulham, Bobby DeCorter Reed. I don't think I've seen him play much. And Joe Latabare, Swansea City. So this is going to be our toughest match, and it is our first match on Saturday. But what are your thoughts over this Jamaican squad?
Yeah, not looking too good for me. If depending on the formation that they play in, it'll probably be a 4-3-3, because that's what everybody does, or some variation of it. I think that'll be the thing to watch for, is the front three, and it'll probably be Antonio, Tamari Gray, and Leon Bailey. But you know, they're dangerous in their teams, because their teams are set kind of around them. Mainly West Ham with Mikel Antonio, not so much this season, but the previous seasons he was basically the focal point of their team, and they built around him, and also is very versatile. He can play in different positions, not just up top. But Demari Gray, he's got a lot of speed, has issues with finishing in front of goal. That's mainly the biggest issue. Leon Bailey he's got a couple worldies in him. He scored coming in as a sub for Aston Villa last year. He got pretty good amount of playing time, but this season with Unai Emery, there was a little bit of a different starting 11, and the play style was a little bit different than what they played last year. But yeah, he does have a couple worldies in him, but I don't think it'll be too much of an issue for the US, based on, you know, their defenders. There's, you know, Yedlin's got some speed, he can keep up with players. Miazga's, you know, holding it down. Miles Robinson's, you know, decent. So I don't think that they're going to have any issue with these forwards and stopping them from scoring.
Yeah, it should be a not an easy win against Jamaica, but that is our main match. Looking at the schedule, obviously begins Saturday, June 24th, USA versus Jamaica, then Trinidad Tobago versus St. Kitts. Wednesday, a few days of rest, Jamaica versus Trinidad, St. Kitts versus USA. And then Sunday, a week from this Sunday, is USA versus Trinidad, Jamaica versus St. Kitts and Nevis. Who do you think, who, like, what is the order of the group that will determine this? Like, what is the order that will determine this group?
USA first, Jamaica second, Trinidad third, and St. Kitts last. Probably 0 points for them.
Did you say USA second?
No, USA first.
Okay, yeah, Jamaica, that's what I figured. Okay, so let's look into Group B. That is the group that Francisco is looking at. Mexico, Haiti, Honduras, and Qatar. Qatar is back in the picture. They have not left the region. They participated in the Gold Cup 2 years ago for the World Cup prep. And I guess they got the deal for it afterwards. So they want to continue this trek because Qatar was probably one of the worst teams in the World Cup, I believe.
Yeah.
But let's look at. Yeah, exactly. So recently, Mexico hired their coach. I'm not sure if he was an interim coach or was he a permanent coach, but they hired Jaime Lozano. And they say that this Mexican roster is the A team compared to the Canadian team and the U.S. team. But Francisco, can you give us a preview of this Mexican squad and what they got to show?
Yeah, so a couple days ago, it was announced that Diego Coca was going to be removed, fired, eliminated from his position as manager after a horrible CONCACAF tournament or Nations League tournament. And so they brought in Jaime Lozano, who is goes by Jimmy Lozano is his nickname. Played a long time with the national team, also played in Liga MX. So he's very well informed, and he knows a lot of the structure of the national team and how that works. And he's been the under 23 coach, I think, for three years, I think. So I think it was just a matter of time before he got his chance, and here it is. So I think he needs to take advantage of it. For me right now, I think he's mainly just interim coach until they can find a long time replacement. And like I said about Coca, I don't think he's going to be the World Cup manager. Well, I do think he's got a lot of the way he carries himself, his personality. It's very serious. He doesn't really talk a lot. He's not very, you know, talkative, I guess, in press conferences and whatnot. So you kind of do have to, you know, break down his wall and get to know him, you know, before he actually starts conversation and whatnot. But I think with that, it'll bring it'll show the players that this is serious, because I think that's what's really missing with the Mexico national team. A lot of these players are really confident in the fact that they are being called up and that their positions are secure with the national team. And when they are called up, they know that they'll be called up for the next tournament because, you know, that's, they're taking the B squad. So I think that mentality of like, this is our A, B, C, whatever, D squad, or,
you know, how would you rate this squad? Would this be an A squad for you or B plus? Like, what would you rate it?
Yeah, I would say it's basically the A minus squad. Okay. there's a couple of players I would toss out, mainly.
When I even look at.
Probably all of the goalkeepers, but that's just me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, including Ochoa. You know, like he's done his time. I think you know, when goalkeepers are of that age, it's usually because they have, you know, some kind of captain role or leadership role. And I think he really lacks that.
Having leadership.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's you're not a leader when you're screaming at your players like, hey, what are you doing? You know, after you get scored on, like, to me, that's not a leader. Like, he understands how to be a good goalkeeper, but I don't think he understands the game very well. So that's why, you know, you do see a lot of highlights of, oh, you know, you look at what Ochoa did. He saved this, he saved that. But I don't see that in him. I think we need more leaders on the team and people that take away that mentality of like, hey, this is serious. This isn't a game. Like, we need to take the, regardless of what's going on with the, you know, higher ups, with the, you know, directors of the national team or whatever, you know, the media saying about they need to do this, they need to do that. Like, that shouldn't matter to the player. What should matter to the player is being on the field and giving it your all for the Mexico jersey. So, you know, going down the list, there's players that I'm very interested in seeing how they react to getting their butts kicked.
Against, you mean, the like USA. They're young and like inexperienced?
Yeah, the young and inexperienced. I think with the whole U.S. game and what went down, I think.
But you guys expected to lose against the U.S., right? Was that like, hey, I mean, they're doing great. We're just rebuilding. We, you know, we figured out our sports director recently.
Yeah, no, I don't. No, we definitely.
Or like, you have to beat the U.S. That's pretty much.
The mentality. It's the mentality is always to beat the U.S. I don't think that they ever. And as far as what's in the players' minds, like, no, that they weren't going in thinking that they were going to lose. But I think there is something to say, though, with these young players that are coming up, that if they're not cutting it, you know, you got to leave them out of the team and let them, you know, get better, develop, you know, and then call them back, you know, to see if that's kind of like a Mourinho, you know, like get them out and then, you know, bring them back in kind of thing. And so I think for me, a couple of players that are on the chopping block as far as that, young players that, you know, need to prove themselves is Jorge Sanchez, who was one of the players that got the red card in that U.S. game. And I just didn't like what I saw from him as far as like his personality on the field. He was way too aggressive, way too like, I mean, you have to be, you know, physical and whatnot to play defense. But I think he was just way too aggressive. I don't know if that was just because it was the U.S., but I didn't like what I saw from him. This player isn't on the chopping block for me, but Arteaga, I think I saw a different side of him that I've never seen before when he also got a red card. You know, that was the one where Weston McKennie got the red card because they were shoving each other and
ripping each other's shirts.
Yeah. I think, you know, anytime you or get physical or you know, get to the point where you want to punch somebody, like you should hold that in and then put that out on the field, you know. And I think that he seemed like that was the type of player that he was to me, but I did see a little of that Latino heat, Latino temperament, as some people call it, in him. And so
what the European broadcasters say,
you know, they said that there was that Mexico has lost it and that it was embarrassing.
They lost their mojo.
Whatever. And I was like, man, it's easy to, you know, beat.
They're losing their players like Ricardo Pepi to the U.S.
Yeah. Like, it's easy to, you know, beat on the guy who's already down. So I didn't pay attention too much to those comments because I know there's a lot of the players are – based on that game and how the performance, you know, the players are lost and they're looking for a leader, you know, whether it's on the field, whether it's on the sideline with your manager, you know, I think that they're a little lost right now. And so the players need a little bit of guidance. And there's a lot of young players that are coming in that are also, you know, playing in Europe or, you know, they've, you know, won this championships in, you know, Liga MX or whatever. And I think that there's a lot of players that need to come off their high horse and come down to the real world and be like, all right, like we're not performing and we need to perform. And how do we do that? And so that's kind of where I'm at with the national team. I felt embarrassed while I was watching the game not because of the loss, the actual score, just because of what I was seeing, the personalities from the players, you know, how they were playing, the center back that got the red card for kicking Montes, like, you know, that type of stuff. Like, they just lost their heads, and I think these players are a lot better than that, and they shouldn't be doing that and reacting that way. I know that it's the U.S. and, you know, emotions are flying high during these games, but look what happens when you let the emotions get to you. The game gets out of control, and next thing you know, you're down 3-0, and, you know, you're just doing back passes so that the game can get over as fast as possible.
Yeah, looking at the squad, no MLS clubs, no players, no coincidence. And keep in mind, Mexico's still transitioning out of El Chicharito years. So we'll see what they do in this tournament. They do have the best squad from the top three in the CONCACAF. So we'll see if that comes into play. In their group is Haiti, Honduras, and Qatar. Odds to win the Gold Cup, Mexico's 200, Qatar plus 1,600, Honduras plus 3,500. And Haiti plus 6,500. Who do you think? I know Mexico will be first coming out of the group, but who'll be the other team coming out of the group, in your opinion?
I think it'll be Honduras.
Honduras has it. Los Catrachos.
Yep. It'll be them and probably Qatar third, Haiti, just because they've got nobodies on their team. So,
and keep in mind, Qatar made it in the top four of the Gold Cup last time around. So I don't know if you want to put that into play.
I don't think that's going to make a difference.
So. Okay. No. So Mexico's first match, which could be the hardest, is Honduras this Sunday at 8 p.m. And then Mexico plays Haiti next. And then they play Qatar. So I think Mexico might have a harder group than the U.S. Is that what I'm saying? Kind of.
Yeah, I think so. Mainly just because of the, you know, what happened in the Nations League. I think Mexico is going to be their own enemy, you know, in this tournament.
It's a wounded animal.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all on them. Now, I think they definitely can get out of the group with all three wins. So I wouldn't doubt them doing that, but I could definitely see a tie or a loss in there somewhere.
Jaime Lozano, is there a chance for him to become the permanent coach, or he has to, like, win the Gold Cup and he has to sway it in? Like, what do you think his odds to just be the permanent coach there?
Yeah, I think he definitely has a chance. I think if he's able to change the mentality of the players and show some positivity as far as his influence on the players and how they're playing, and if he's able to change their mindsets going forward after this tournament, I think he definitely has a chance. And he's done his time with the under 23s and he's proven himself there. So I think he definitely has a shot here becoming the permanent coach. Cause I highly doubt Mexico has the Federation has any clue of who to replace him, bring in as a permanent manager right now. I mean,
Jesse March is available.
Also lost. But maybe if Berhalter wouldn't have gotten the job, maybe Mexico could have hired him.
Well, he was actually getting interviewed by Team America, which he confirmed it a week ago.
So it was confirmed that he actually was.
Yeah, he had conversations. Don't know what that means. Okay. Was there a contract on the table? I don't know.
That would have been interesting.
That would have been. Yeah, I think not very much Americans. Coaches in Liga MX. So let's go into Group C. This is the Costa Rica group. Yeah, Costa Rica. We got El Salvador. We got Panama, and we got Martinique. The Costa Rican squad. Let's look at it very briefly. Jesus Delgado from Press Sedan. Kevin Chamorro Saprissa. Lozano, I don't see any. No, there's no main stars. It's not with the Costa Rican, and no for the goalkeeper of Costa Rica. They used to play for Real Madrid. He's not there as usual because he never plays Gold Cups. He does it intentionally. Really brief, Francisco. Costa Rica, Panama, Salvador, Martinique. Who do you think will come out? And, you know, who's first, second, third, and fourth?
For this group, I think I'm going to go with Costa Rica first, and then I'm going to give El Salvador second. It's going to be close.
Panama, I mean, has been doing, you know, like they've qualified the World Cup for 2018. They almost did for 2022, but do you think El Salvador could be on the rise a bit?
Yeah, I think they're going to be on the rise. It's going to be close. There's going to be – this group will probably have the most draws out of any of the group. So,
yeah, this is probably the closest group from the three groups that we've seen so far.
Yeah, yeah. Martinique is definitely going to get last, but I think yeah, it could be anyone of Costa Rica, Panama, and El Salvador. That's a tie group, the death group, as they call it.
Yeah, the group of death. Looking at the Panama roster, we got a few. One part of their best player is Michael Amado Murillo, plays for Anderlecht in Belgium. And then you got two MLS players, Anibal Godoy from Asheville and Alberto Carrasquel Cuilla in Houston. Then Saprissa, Fidel Escobar. So those are pretty highlights. I don't recognize anyone that was in that World Cup squad in 18. I know it's been almost 6 years or so. So that is Panama. Let's look into Group D. I'm going to pull this up. Group D is the Canada group. And if I can get this going, if not, I am. Okay, I see it. Pull this up. Canada, which is the only third team that has won. You see Canada, right? You see my screen?
Yep.
So Canada is the only team besides Mexico and USA that has won the Gold Cup. So it's all Mexico, all US since the tournament started in 92, I think. Canada won it in 2000, Francisco, if you did not know that.
The one lucky year.
One lucky year. I don't know what happened that year. They might have, maybe every team had their B squads, and maybe Canada brought their A squad. So who knows? So Canada, they got first place in the CONCACAF qualifiers, and they made first. They're bringing not an A squad as Mexico is. There's no Alfonso Tavies is not going to be there, but they do have Charles Andres Brin and Junior Hoyler from Reading and Victoria Luther Uri from Ross County and a lot of MLS players. Oh, Kamal Miller from Inter Miami is going to be there. I kind of know him. So we got Canada, we got Cuba, which I heard they were having some immigration issues to some of the players, but they finally got in. They got Guatemala, who's making their second consecutive appearance in the Gold Cup after serving a 2-year suspension from FIFA. I forgot about that. Guadeloupe, they qualified for their fifth ever appearance in the group stage. You know, some of these islands have to go through qualifiers. It's not an easy invitation. You pretty much have to get qualified. And odds to win the world, the odds to win the Gold Cup is Canada plus 500. Then Cuba, Guatemala, and Guadeloupe are not that favored. But your thoughts over this group, and who do you think will finish in order?
Yeah, I think Canada obviously will make it first out of there. But after looking at the roster lineup, though, it's not as strong as I thought they're gonna bring out. But it's still, I don't think they'll be that too hard of a challenge for them to get out of there first, especially with the teams in their group. Physically, I think Guatemala will probably give them their best fight. Cuba, I mean, do they even have soccer players? Aren't they all baseball players?
That's what I thought. And they usually stick around. But, you know, it's funny about, like, the Cuba baseball team during the World Classic, majority of the team played in MLB. So they didn't have to worry about, you know, escaping or staying. No, they were all good.
They were already
here. I don't know about this Cuban team. I don't think they have MLS players or anything like that.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But they missed out on the 2021 Gold Cup due to COVID-19 restrictions. And they withdrew from qualifying. And they're coming off friendly losses against Chile and Uruguay, which I expect them to lose those. But we'll hope to contend for Guatemala for that second spot. But so who do you got?
Yeah, I got no hope for Cuba. So we're going with Canada, Guatemala, and then, yeah. I mean, Guadeloupe, maybe third. Cuba maybe last. Third. I'm going to go with Cuba last. That's my prediction.
That's what's going to happen. I think so, too. I think maybe Canada, I mean, maybe Cuba third place and Guadeloupe fourth spot. So we'll see how it goes in this Group D. And obviously the top two of each group will go to the second round of the Gold Cup. And, of course, that goes from there on, which we'll preview that next week or in a week and a half, because I know that we'll know more about it. But, yeah, this Gold Cup is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a lot of looking at players, what they got. And keep in mind, Francisco, like, there's no qualifiers for neither of us, Mexico or the U.S. So these tournaments have to be taken very, you know, very strong. But I think we'll see a good tournament. How you feel about it?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's kind of what I was a little on the fence about, as far as already being qualified for the World Cup, is that the teams are not going to be bringing their strongest squads every single tournament, which obviously you can't regardless. But I think already being qualified kind of gives the teams some little bit of wiggle room, you know, to be able to experiment a little bit and maybe bring some faces that bring in some players that haven't experienced the national team playing for the jersey, for your team that you're representing nationally. And so maybe, you know, there'll be a, you know, a player or two that you didn't expect to be called up, but he actually ends up, you know, being solid and being a rock star for your squad. So I do think that they need to take advantage regardless of, you know, don't go in thinking, oh, well, we're already qualified, and then go into the, you know, World Cup and you're just getting rocked out there, because, you know, you're just bringing your best 11 or your best 23, whatever squad, but you're starting your best 11 thinking that, oh, just because you have your best players out there, you know, it's going to be done. So I think the being able to, you know, experiment a little bit, use that time, you know, accordingly, and use it to also build yourself up and show that, you know, your squad is strong. And so that's what I'm hoping for, is that the teams take advantage of the games that they do have to play, because that there's no qualifiers or anything, so they're not even going to be present in those matches. So it'll be up to the other teams to, you know, come in with strong squads, because they've, you know, been actively getting playing time at the national team level during the FIFA dates that they have sanctioned throughout the year.
Exactly. And looking at the bracket for the knockout phase of the tournament of the Gold Cup, if it goes all to plan, if USA finishes first and Mexico first place in their groups, they're in the opposite sides of the bracket. So they will not meet in the semi-final phase of the tournament. So that is...
that's done on purpose, obviously.
That's done on purpose. That's always been. And the final will be in SoFi Stadium, where the LA Rams play, this beautiful stadium. No Vegas this time, so it might work in your favor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, regardless, in Mexico's, they're still going to be way more green than white, regardless. But
I know. If you saw that final between USA and Canada, half the stadium was full.
Yep. That's they were probably not able to resell some of their tickets.
I heard that, too, by the way. That's not... that's very true. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, CONCACAF, FIFA wants USA versus Mexico, because the stadium will be full, tickets are sold, concession stands, everything. So, well, there you have it. That is the Gold Cup preview. Francisco will be back in the next week or so to recap what happened in the group stage. Usually, in my opinion, Francisco, the group stage is like the most boring part. I say that I don't pay attention to it, but I glance on it. But the second round is where I really look at it, and that gets really tough. But obviously, every match has to be played, no matter how easy it is. If it's Martinique, Honduras, or Guadeloupe, you got to play these matches and see what you got in your roster. How can this player develop in your system? Anyways, that's a Gold Cup preview. Real quick, Madrid, Mbappe, it's going to happen.
I mean, my opinions on it as far as the whole transfer saga with Mbappe and Madrid since last year and what happened in the summer. I really think that Mbappe turned his back on Madrid and he had his opportunity to make his dream come true to come to Real Madrid. Door was wide open, and now I feel like the ball is in Real Madrid's court as far as the negotiations. So not as he might be able to get him onto the squad with a little bit of a lower salary than compared to last year, because
true, Madrid has leverage now.
They've got leverage, and there is a little bit of issues with La Liga, and there's a salary cap, which a lot of the teams are dealing with that.
It's being enforced, like Barcelona is like trapped, it feels like.
Yeah, they're still able to sign and register players. I don't know how, but La Liga's allowing it, so we'll see what happens with that.
La Liga needs Mbappe.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's been making its way down as far as popularity. You know, at one point when it was Messi, Ronaldo era, Barcelona, Madrid Clásicos, I think it was the best league in the world for, you know, almost a decade. So I don't I'm a little bit, I mean, we won the Champions League without having Mbappe there. We won it without Ronaldo there. So
now they needed more. Benzema's gone.
Benzema is gone, which maybe if he had stayed, that was, you know, we could justify not bringing in Mbappe. But I think that was also a surprise seeing Benzema leave for the money. But I think if we have a chance, PSG is obviously not going to budge on the price. So there's also that, you know, from what I've heard, Madrid definitely has the 200 million to bring him in. But, you know, if we can wait a year,
it's
bring
free.
Him in, bring him in for free, have him sign a pre-contract agreement in January, then I think
that's right.
I think that's the road I would take.
Florentino will probably prefer that.
Yeah, because if Florentino supposedly talks to Mbappe, this is from last year's transfer saga, that they talk, you know, on the regular or whatever. If that's true, then I think he should be able to convince him to come for free and we don't have to spend 200, because I think those 200 we could spend somewhere else, save it for next season, and then build a team around Mbappe, because you never know what could happen next year.
You never know. Obviously, Madrid
2024, 25.
Yeah, exactly. Madrid got Jude Bellingham. That was their main goal for this transfer.
Plus that's 100 million we've already spent. So
that's a lot.
You know, that's a lot of money. And, you know, give him a year and kind of figure out, you know, where we're going to use him and how we're going to use him. You know, two players that are probably going to be not here if Mbappe comes next year is probably going to be Modric and Toni Kroos. They signed the 1 year extension to keep playing through this next coming up season, but
they're probably going to offload them next year.
Yeah. So, you know, there's going to be a need for some midfielders when Mbappe comes in. Obviously we got Tchouaméni and we got, you know, Camavinga, who's kind of was used as a fullback this season in some games, but
you got the French defensive midfielders.
The French connection there in the midfield, and with Mbappe also, you know, they're going to be teammates. So I think that gives me a lot of hope for the future. Which that's another thing that Madrid has also really been focusing on is the youth and building for the future.
Youth and speed. Well, there we have it. We'll be looking at the transfer period for all the teams, all clubs. Saudi Arabia's taking over, but. And as we got to go, Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you, hey, can Mexico win the Gold Cup this summer?
for all your Mexico questions, Real Madrid questions, or your hate mail, send it to at FranciscoBCP on Twitter. That's the best way to reach me. And I will gladly, you know, reply back to any kind of comments, positive or negative. It's all the same to me. But if it's soccer, I'll talk and banter with you. So at FranciscoBCP on Twitter.
You do support two scandalous teams, Mexico and Real Madrid. Controversial. That's scandalous. Controversial.
More Mexico, I guess.
More Mexico. Say, yeah, Madrid right has a good PR team, so they know how to control the fire. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, we got the Gold Cup going on, and looking at the NBA draft this past week. It's been a great week of sports. Francisco Flores, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me on.
And this was your update.